Welcome to another edition of the Big Fat Farm Show on KSJD, where we talk about anything farm, fresh, and food-related. My name is Sarah Severson, and today we have with us Catherine Fulton, farmer and owner of Kestrel Farm in the Mancos Valley. Welcome to the show, Catherine.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Great. Well, let's start with talking a little bit about your farm. Give us an idea of what it looks like, kind of acreage, crops, what's going on over there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, the total land area at our place is 7.5 acres, five of which is irrigated pasture. And we use a rudimentary irrigation system. It's basically just gravity flood irrigation. And I have put about 1/4 acre of the pasture into vegetable production. And so I basically put ditch water into gated pipe and flood the vegetables. We also have two raised boxes near the house that are 4 feet by 24 feet, and a small low-tech greenhouse where we've got tomatoes and peppers growing.
Great. And how long have you been doing this?
This is our first year of commercial farming. We owned the land for about 12 years, but based on family obligations, we're not able to be present there full-time until last year. And so this is the first year of commercial production, first year of raising sheep and chickens and all that.
Great. And so how's it going in the first year? I'm sure there's a lot of challenges and successes that have been occurring for you.
All right. It's going very well. I'm enjoying the lifestyle a lot.
Is it something that you've always wanted to do? Or
I've thought about it for a very long time. I'd say probably 20 years. This is something I'd thought about. And my family and I lived in various different parts of Colorado, and I've pretty much always raised a family garden wherever we've been. And my experience has been that even in a small area, I've produced more food than our family can eat. And a wise person once said, find out what it is that you love to do and do it as much as possible. And growing food has brought me a lot of satisfaction. So that's what I thought about for a very long time. I would like to raise food for my community, you know, just expand on the family garden and go a little bigger.
Yeah, what's enticing about that? Because I think a lot of people, when you think about farming and ranching, it's hard work. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's sometimes a 24/7 job. It's hard to leave that property, especially if you have animals like sheep and chickens. So what entices you to want to do that sort of hard work in, you know, as a second career? I know you've had a first or at least a second career. Maybe this is your third career.
It's probably my sixth or seventh career, actually. I guess I do get antsy easily, and I like to change things up in my life, and I enjoy physical labor, and I enjoy being productive in a real way. I just recently resigned from a good state job, but I felt like I was going a little bit crazy being primarily in an office, and that if I wasn't doing that job, somebody else would do that job. And I felt like as a community member, I could be more productive raising food. And I also make pots, and I'd like to, you know, make pots and be productive in a real sort of creative way and be physically active.
Great. Well, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Big Fat Farm Show on KSJD. Today we have in the studio with us Catherine Fulton, farmer and owner of Kestrel Farm. So let's talk about this first year. It's so interesting to me, you know, to sort of plunge into the farming experience. What do you think your biggest challenge has been?
The very biggest challenge, I'd have to say this is kind of shallow, but it's financial. I mean, we've had to adjust to living on one salary. And the reality is that selling vegetables at market doesn't produce a whole lot of income for the time that it requires. Plus, I had capital improvements to make this year, irrigation pipe and, you know, equipment and other capital improvements that needed to be made. So you know, that's something that we're having to change up parts of our lifestyle.
Is it worth it? Like looking at that challenge, I think that's a very real challenge, and that comes up time and time again for
sure
farmers.
It is worth it, and I had the advantage of already owning the land. Okay, so for me, that's a huge leg up on young farmers who want to get into this. Mm-hmm. I want to go back to that topic, though, of barriers to young people getting into farming.
Sure.
But then other challenges are the challenges that all of us in this region face, or climatic challenges. You know, cold nights in the spring limit what you can get going early. Wind, gophers, prairie dogs. this year, grasshoppers have not been bad, but they can be devastating. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those are the challenges to being a productive farmer. Sometimes I'm challenged by just being, you know, my stature as a woman. There are so many situations I get into when I think, oh, this would be so much easier if I was stronger, or if I was taller, or if I had a partner with me, you know, two more hands. So,
right. And you're basically farming the quarter acre of vegetables and the sheep on your own?
Pretty much by myself. Another asset that our little farm has is we have a tiny guest house on there. And so I have a young woman who lives in there who was a former roommate of my daughter's who helps me out. She works 5 hours a week for me, or 20 hours a month, whichever, you know, I need, wherever I need to focus her energy. So I have a little bit of her help. And my husband usually has a honey-do list on the weekends. I try not to beat him up too badly on the weekends, because he works hard all week. And so I get some help from him.
Yeah.
He helped a lot with building deer fence and that kind of thing.
So we've talked a little bit about challenges. How about successes that have happened for you, either unexpected or you thought that was coming down the pike and it actually happened?
One of those is that I have lots of fun at market. And I've always thought, oh, I want to be a farmer and produce all this food, but I don't want to bother with marketing. I'd rather just have somebody take it all away. But I really had fun with market.
And you're selling at what market is it?
Cortez Market every Saturday morning.
Okay, the Cortez Farmers Market on Saturday mornings.
Cortez Farmers Market, mm-hmm. And a couple of evening markets. There are a First Tuesday Market in Parque Davida. So I sold at that one. There'll be another one coming up here.
Great.
And
well, looking a little bit at those challenges, so you talked about financial challenges and also the ability, like some labor, having help on the farm to mm-hmm. do certain things. As you look forward into the future, you know, in the coming years, how do you see those things changing or addressing those issues for yourself?
Well, it would be nice to have some sort of machinery, a tractor or an ATV with implements. That would be helpful. Every year, I'm sure I'm going to be doing things differently. I already know how I'm going to redesign my flood irrigation. But I don't expect to expand beyond what I can do by myself in the next couple of years.
You're going to keep it pretty contained.
I'm going to keep it to where I can manage it myself.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more of the Big Fat Farm Show on KSJD.
Thank you.
with more of the Big Fat Farm Show on KSJD. I'm Sarah Severson, your host, and today we're talking with Catherine Fulton, farmer and owner of Kestrel Farm in the Mancos Valley. So, Catherine, let's talk a little bit about resources and support for farming. What are you finding in terms of support for your farming and ranching endeavors?
La Plata County and Montezuma counties have a wealth of resources, and because I had thought about doing this for a long time, I learned as much as I could from other farmers. So I would say that both extension agencies are a very important resource.
And what, tell us, you know, for folks that might not know what an extension agency is or what they do, what do they provide?
Colorado State University has offices, I think, in most counties in Colorado in support of agriculture. And the extension agencies offer educational support and workshops. In addition, for example, I took a class called Growing Farmers through the La Plata County Extension Agency. And the culmination of the class was to write a business plan for your farm. The class was taught by a different local farmer every week, and they would come in and share their experiences and some of the, you know, mistakes that they had made and the good things that were happening. And so it was a very realistic picture of what this can look like. These were mostly small farmers. Some of them have it dialed in. But I would definitely recommend taking as many of those kinds of courses as you can. Mm-hmm. Other agencies in both counties offer lots of workshops. The Fort Lewis College and the Old Fort have a lot of very interesting things going on in terms of allowing young farmers to use the space, and they have a huge old root cellar there, so they're growing root crops and doing a lot of season extension stuff, hop growing. So, and various workshops are offered all over. I hear workshops about growing hops, old orchards, storage vegetables, seed saving and banking, mycology for food and medicine, hemp, small pasture management, and more. And many of those are free. So if people who are interested in getting into this take advantage of those, you can learn so much from other people who have already been in the trenches. And
are you getting to commune with other young and older farmers of all ages to just sort of...
Absolutely. And our biggest resource right now is Mount Lookout Grange in Mancos. The Mount Lookout Grange is undergoing a revival. It's very active and active with people of all ages. And there are older farmers who are encouraging younger people to get into the ag business and sharing knowledge. And it's been fun socially. We joke that it's become our church. The Grange is our church.
Church of animal husbandry and vegetable production.
So great. I would definitely encourage people to take advantage of networking at the Grange.
Great. Well, if you've just tuned in, we're talking with Catherine Fulton, farmer and owner of Kestrel Farm on the Big Fat Farm Show. Catherine, let's talk a little bit about the sheep. I know you've never raised sheep before. You know, people start with vegetable production and then sooner or later they add some livestock if they're any kind of farmer or rancher, just to even try it out for a while. So tell me how you got into the sheep business and what that's been like.
Okay, well, that is a stretch because I was raised in the city and I have no experience with livestock.
So you too, all of you out there can do this too. Just add a sheep to the backyard. It's like a dog, right?
No, way easier than a dog. It comes 5 o'clock and the dogs are staring me down and the rooster's crowing, feed me. And when the sheep first came, I thought, oh, I don't have to feed the sheep. They just hang out there and eat grass. Of course, they need fresh water and they need to be safe from predators.
Mm-hmm. Have you had any issues with predators?
Not yet, thank goodness. Mm-hmm.
How many sheep do you have?
We have 9 sheep, mm-hmm. and they're meat sheep. They're Hampshire Suffolk cross, so they're fluffy, white, woolly sheep with black faces and black legs. And they, they're lovely animals, and they're taking very good care of my pasture. I had told myself I wasn't going to do sheep this year. I wasn't quite ready. However, I met a contact through the Grange, my young friend Craig Feigenbaum, who was very interested in getting going on livestock. And he agreed that he wanted to do it now, and he wanted to raise meat chickens as well. So we partnered up, and he's helping me out with the sheep. And he raised 60 meat chickens.
Oh, along with the sheep. Then.
Along with the sheep.
60
so the
chickens,
plan was,
nine sheep.
Because of this 5 irrigated acres, the way we had managed it for the past 12 years was to do flood irrigation, which wasn't very effective, and pay somebody to cut and bale our hay. And I just felt like that wasn't a very good use of the land. And I really wanted to increase our food production. So what we did this year, we had a great grass crop, and so we did cut 2/3 of our field, and we got 94 bales of hay. The other third we saved for the livestock. And so we were doing intensive grazing of the sheep, meaning that we were using electric netting and keeping them in a small space for 3 or 4 days, and then we would move them over to fresh grass. And Craig had the meat chickens in 3 different what are called chicken tractors out in the pasture following where the sheep had been. So the sheep eat the they graze the grass down to about 4 inches and they poop. And then the chickens come along and scratch all that poop into the soil and eat a little bit more of the grass. And so what I'm left with is a mowed and fertilized pasture.
So that pasture, instead of being that, you know, a lot of pastures, if you're driving by, that might be this brown layer of dirt that you're seeing because it's gotten eaten down too much. Is that what's happening?
It's very easy to overgraze.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So paying attention to when they've eaten as much as they should eat and then move them is important, and it's sustainable.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to stick with sheep in the coming year here?
I am going to. I am frustrated with the electric netting because sometimes they're motivated to get motivated enough to get to the other side that they'll plow through it. So I have spent quite a lot of time chasing sheep.
Are you up in the middle of the night a lot?
No.
It's more like a daytime thing if they get out of the netting. Or
yeah.
Do you bring them in at night and put them into a corral or something to protect them from?
No, I don't have a barn, which is one reason why I'm not going to overwinter any livestock. They'll go to processing in October.
And so is that.
However, they have a double layer of protection. There is a perimeter fence around the whole 5 acres, as well as their contained area where they are. And I can see it all from my house, so I'm really pretty tuned in. Plus, we have 2 dogs who alert us to anything that's unusual.
And are the sheep going to be profitable for you? Is that, you know, vegetable production can be challenging, but is the sheep...
I think the lamb is going to be quite a lot more profitable for me than the vegetables are. Yes.
Well, nice combination.
Yep.
Well, thanks for coming on the show, Catherine. Really appreciate that. If people want more information about Kestrel Farm or to talk with you, Catherine, how can they get a hold of you?
My email address is kestrelfarm@gmail.com. Kestrel is K-E-S-T-R-E-L.
Perfect. Well, that was Catherine Fulton, farmer and owner of Kestrel Farm. You're listening to the Big Fat Farm Show on KSJD. Tune in 2 weeks on September 2nd at 8:30 a.m. for the next edition. I'm Sarah Severson, your host, signing off saying, friend a farmer this week. Thanks for listening. Have a great day out there.